what seems too much. When you feel totally out of touch, hope is seeping out the door. You find yourself curled on the floor. Swirl round all jumbled and messed. Why is this brain so darkly obsessed? I've secrets I've never confessed, haven't told a soul. A gentle whisper through the pain. Remember rainbows, breathe deeply, hold on tight. Your hope will return, shining bright. Embrace the now, release the past. In forgiveness, peace will last. You matter deeply, you're not. Let your strength be shown.
Hello there. It's so good to be back. I'm Elaine Lindsay. This is Suicide Zen Forgiveness. And my guest today is Jen Ginty. I am so happy to have you with me today, Jen.
Yes, thank you so much, Elaine, for having me on the show.
I'm pretty excited. I met Jen, I guess, just a few months ago.
Yeah.
And I felt an immediate connection with you, which was great. It's always nice when you can vibe with the people that are in your industry, because let's face it, we're in the same industry. I'm going to let you do the talking. So why don't you give the audience a little idea of who you are, what you do, and then we'll take it from there.
Sounds good. I am a single mom, and I live with complex PTSD and major depressive disorder from childhood abuse. I had spent a lot of my life saying not yet to my healing journey and putting it off because of fear and timing and those kind of things, the life moments that you just don't, you're afraid that you'll mess your life up if you get into the dark parts of your mind. I spent a lot of time pushing it off until one day my brain had just stopped me and said, right now is the time that you need to get on this journey. And me being the consummate caregiver all my life, I pretty much had to convince myself that by doing that, I was helping my family and loved ones as well to start. But I had to have that reason. And not to just completely focus on me, because it's scary to focus on yourself, especially when you've taken that role on for so long in your life. So my brain basically, it said right now with the brain fog and the tiredness and the inability to really communicate well. And so I put together my team of healing team, I guess you'd call it, of an individual therapist. I went inpatient in order to be sure that I was on the right track with medications and with therapies and learning the best group therapies for me, those kind of things. So I got all that together to start my journey. And it's been probably about 6 years that I made that decision. And all healing journeys are roller coasters. They're up and they're down. You never know what day is going to be climbing up that hill and which ones are going to be crashing down to the bottom of the track. But it's been incredible in many ways. During that time, I was in group therapy and I was talking about how just frustrating it was to have complex PTSD symptoms, to be depressed, that kind of thing. And I said, I wish I had a monster that I could rip apart and throw across the room and maybe burn in a fire or whatever I had to do to get that out. And people in the group were like, yeah, you should have one of those. So when I went home, I'm not a seamstress. I'm not a tailor. I don't really know how to sew very well, but I put together this plush doll, and the arms and legs and head were of Velcro so I could rip them apart. And and I named that first doll PTSD Pete. And Pete was my buddy. Pete was there for me when I really needed to let out that raw emotion, the somatic need to get it out of your body. And it really helped me to better understand that I can tear this monster apart, but I can also put it back together and look at, you know, what happened, why I had that reaction, and what is a coping skill that I've been learning throughout my journey that can help me to better cope with that frustration in the end. So Moody came from PTSD Pete. I decided to share them with the world. And so my Moody monster was pretty much born during COVID. And I've been working on them for quite a while. And they're my love letter to my healing, honestly.
That is so beautiful. That is absolutely, I absolutely love that. Your love letter. It's such a beautiful way to put it. And I think that's part of what drew me to you is you do have a very, not just upbeat, but calming energy.
Thank you.
You seem laid back or calm. It's a lot of energy, but it calms. And I don't know if I'm explaining that, but I know what I mean.
Yes, no, I understand it. Thank you for that. That's so beautiful to say.
Oh, it's really nice to be open enough now to receive people as they are. And for me, I guess that's part of my healing journey is learning what people really are when you take down all those defensive walls. So do we get a look at Pete?
Oh, I do have, where is Moody?
Our Moody weather?
Yes, Moody is right here. Let me take them out. This is Moody.
Moody.
So Moody, yeah, so you can rip off their head, you can pull off their arms and legs and get all of that frustration out. And they're squishy, you can hug them after. There's lots of things that you can do with Moody to just be your feelings buddy.
Oh, that is so cool.
Thanks.
He looks amazing.
Thank you. Far from what I did for PTSD. Pete was a mess. This is a produced doll.
This one's produced. Okay. Yes. Okay. And is there, can you request colors or is it?
That's ultimately my major goal for Moody is to have a make a monster where everyone can pick whatever they want their monster to look like.
That's so cool.
Yeah. But in the beginning, you have to buy a certain amount of dolls in order to get them. So I started off with Moody, but yeah, there is high goals for different dolls. I'd love to do different dolls for different diagnoses, especially for kids like ADHD, autism, all these other diagnoses that kids need to better understand. So that's the goal. Yeah.
Oh, that's so good, because that's exactly what I was thinking of. I was thinking of particular children and the fact that a lot of kids I know have very specific colors that are of import to them.
Yes.
Which is interesting. But I love the concept of having them be twinned with ADHD or autism or Asperger's or whatever. Yeah, whatever you have. I love that concept. Love it. So now that we've talked about what you do and what you have, let's get into the how you got here.
Okay.
And you can give us as much or as little as you want to, but it's always, I believe, not only do we offer hope to our audience, but it can help lighten your burden when you share your story.
Yeah. So I was 14 when my older brother told a trusted adult about what was happening in our home. My father was our abuser, and he was a very sadistic man, honestly. And we weren't the only people he was abusing. And when they finally took my father from the home, I think a lot of people think that's where kids are okay now. The abuser's gone. Kids are okay now. But that's really not the case, because there are a lot of other things that can happen. For me, I had a lot of trauma in the court system. And they wanted to put my father in prison for what he did. But they also treated us as if we were just, I don't know, like pains in the asses, honestly. Like, they wanted us to say what they wanted us to say instead of saying our truth. And back then, I was only 14. My brothers were older than me. They were better able to discuss what had happened to them. And it took me a while to really be able to talk about that really heavy stuff like sexual abuse.
Yeah.
And when I finally did speak on it, the DA did not believe me. They thought I was just wanting to get on that trip of putting my father in prison, which was, what child ever wants that? You know, what child ever wants to have to say to anyone that they've been very badly abused? They made me go in front of grand jury to tell the stories of what had happened to me.
Oh my God.
That was when I was about 17, 18 years old. And of course, the grand jury was like, hell yeah, add her to the list.
Yeah.
But it was humiliating. And the depression that I had over the few years had definitely been getting worse. And during my teenage years, I had two suicide attempts that I survived. One when all the things had come out. And second was right before going to college. I had another, just, I think that the fear, being in the middle of this court thing with my abuser and trying to go to school, and I had broken up with my boyfriend, had broken up with me, all these kind of things had just boiled up, and I had a second attempt right before college.
Oh my God.
But we're lucky to live in an area that has the premier mental health hospital in the country, McLean Hospital.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, and I was lucky enough to be able to go to McLean's, that's the place that I picked again in my adulthood to go to, because I knew that they would be able to take care of everything that I needed. My mother made sure that I went to McLean. And it really did help beforehand. My mother also made it a requirement that I went to therapy during college. And I hated it at first, but it became something really good for me. It was what I tell people all the time is a therapist is great to have because they're a third party.
Yes.
You can tell them anything. And they have probably heard it before. And they're not a part of your life. They're not your family. They're not your friends. You don't have to be afraid of telling them what you need to tell them.
And they're not going to have to choose a side at some point. And I think kids intrinsically know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So those were the two major attempts that I had in my teen years. And I managed to get through the court hearing. My abuser went to prison for 4 years, only 4 years. And then he left and he went on to abuse other children.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was a lot to deal with, a lot to watch. But also, here I am, I'm in my 20s now. And I'm doing this not yet, this pushing things off.
Yeah.
And not wanting to deal with the, like I said, the dark times. And so I spent a good portion of my life doing that, pushing things off. And you know what? Trauma still affects you, whether you push it off or you look at it. And that's the rough of it, honestly. That's the rough of it, is that it will still rear its ugly head, but you're not noticing that the trauma is doing it. You feel it as overwhelm. You feel it as depression. Yeah. You feel it as fear, right?
In actual fact, it's harder on you when you push it away.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I went through my life. I was married and I got a divorce and became a single mom to two boys. And at one point, I ended up buying a boutique in town. And I absolutely adored this boutique. I was fitting women in jeans, making them feel incredible about themselves. But times had got really tough and I had to close the shop and go into bankruptcy. And that's when the darkness ascended again.
That would definitely do it.
Yeah, I had lost an identity at that point.
Yeah.
And that is when my brain said right now.
We can only put these things off for so long. And I applaud you for listening, because some of us are stubborn and we don't for a very long time. And the fact that your mom made you go to therapy in college is such a blessing.
Right now, I believe that. Back then, I didn't.
You did. Oh, absolutely. I totally get it.
I'm actually doing the same for my sons.
Well, see, that's wonderful. I think it's so important. And, okay, I have to be totally transparent here. I have never gone to therapy, not traditional. I work with a spiritual mentor for many years, which to me is as good as therapy. And it was a different time. Mm. Baby boomers, we were locked mental up. Health. It didn't matter what was happening.
Mental health wasn't nothing, a thing.
No one, never. Yeah, it was definitely a thing. And you are of a younger generation, which I think is wonderful that each generation since, although we haven't made big strides, each generation has a bit more empowerment to try for themselves, thank God. But one thing I have to say here, because it's been preying on me for weeks now, up here in Canada, we had an issue with some hockey players.
Oh, yes, I had heard of this.
Yeah, okay. And they got off because the judge did not believe the girl, because there were a number of hours and what have you. And a number of different people around me had said something to the effect, it's awful, she wasn't very believable. Mm-hmm. And it got me so angry, because yes. I don't care how believable she is. I don't care if she said yes 10 times and then said no. The minute she said no, that's what matters. And the fact is, I don't think we stress that enough. I just had to take down a post because whoever shared it didn't share it wide enough. They were talking about some young women who were inappropriately dressed. This one actually happened in the States. And they had trouble with some frat boys, I guess, at a party. And they were talking, and I guess the judge or whomever was saying they're very inappropriately dressed. Mm. I want everybody to be on notice. I don't care if you wear two Band-Aids and a lollipop. No one has any right to interfere with you whatsoever. And the fact is, if they have a problem with, that's their problem.
Yes.
Not the woman's.
Yes. It goes back to what I had said about no teenager, no woman wants to be on show.
No.
About something that's been so life-altering for them.
Absolutely. And it's like what I'm saying, I don't care whether you think they're believable or you think you don't like their lifestyle or what they wear. I don't care. The minute someone says no, the minute a child is harmed, all bets are off. I'm sorry. I don't think you need to go farther than the first person talking to that child. Okay, that's it. That's all. Okay, or we are going to keep losing people.
Yes. And because, we're in the situation that we're in now because people don't believe women.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it is, refrain from me getting political because I tend to be a little too much.
Very political myself.
Yeah. I just think it's horrible. And I know in different religions, different areas, I had spoken a few years ago to some women who talked about their mode of dress was required because the men in their group were unable to contain themselves. That's not your problem.
Right.
But the fact is, it is, because nothing's happening.
We were taught when we were very young that we needed to beware of men.
Yeah.
Girls from age 4 are taught to be aware of the men around you and how they're acting towards you.
And the fact that you do that, you are almost giving them permission to be, bad is the only word I can come up with, that's
dangerous.
Dangerous, yes, dangerous. To be dangerous.
Okay, to be dangerous to another human being. Yeah.
And, okay, and I don't want to not acknowledge that it does happen the other way as well.
Yes.
Okay. Men have been abused as well, and by women. And so I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but predominantly women are the ones who are brutalized most often, disbelieved most often. And very often in employment culture, have to take it on the chin because it's an old boys network. Groups of military, I know for a fact, have gone through issues with this. Military, policing, there's that boys club within. And some are trying to change it.
Yes, I actually interviewed for my show, I interviewed someone yesterday, a man who became an advocate in the Air Force. He had a moment that created that, and he worked so hard in the military to help with the rape culture that was happening, and then went on to work in colleges to teach them how to teach their students to not only not assault, but to help when they see assaults happening.
Yes. And that's a really good point, because the fact that people just turn away rather than getting involved when someone's assaulted, when something happens that isn't correct, when somebody denigrates a person of a different race or a different religion or what have you, silence to me is as offensive as actually perpetrating the wrong.
I agree.
You need to stand up for those around you. And a prime example is I have a lot of friends in the LGBTQ plus 2L community, because in Canada, we recognize two spirits.
Yes.
Two S, sorry, for two spirit people. And it is so important for everyone to feel safe in who they are. And one of the craziest things that goes on is this ongoing problem with bathrooms. And you can't go into a mixed bathroom. Then you must have an awful lot more money than most of the people I know. Because in our homes, doesn't matter what gender you are, you use the same bathroom.
Of course.
Is that not the norm?
Yeah, I think that's the norm. I think they're talking about public bathrooms.
I get that, but yeah. The fact is,
it's ridiculous.
It is, because we in homes, the only reason I believe that it started was because of the attitude of the patriarchy in being so brutal towards women, in taking what they wanted, regardless of what was said or what was done.
Yeah. And
it's happening to this day. And I think all those years ago, women had to wear a red letter. Scarlet letter.
Yep.
For being, I don't even know what the term is anymore.
Oh, an adulteress.
Adulteress. Yes.
Yeah, that was Hester Prynne.
Yep. I think that abusers of all kinds, and this is just me, but should be branded. Because you can avoid an open manhole cover because you can see it. You can avoid an area where the floors are not safe because there's usually a sign. You can see it. You cannot see the males you have to avoid because of their proclivities and tendencies, except for some, I guess. So we've been a little off the rails there. How long now, you said, what is it? How long have you had My Moody Monster out there?
It's coming up on 6 years.
6 years.
Yeah. So I started them during COVID, and it's been a wild ride because I'd never created a product before. And so it was great to be able to test Moody with parents and families and therapists and teachers. It's been wonderful to get the feedback on how Moody is helping others to better communicate their feelings. And I'm pretty proud of how Moody has come out.
And so you should be.
Thank you.
And the fact is, you should be pretty proud of how you come out too.
Oh, thank you so much, Elaine.
You're so welcome. I think it's so important. While we're talking about this, we're going to show the link to your site where people can go check out their own My Moody Monster and get on the bandwagon. So you have someone you can rip apart.
That's right.
I love that concept. I really do. Because there are days you just want to rip something apart.
Oh yeah.
Certainly safer than your spouse or.
And what's funny, a lot of adults that I know that maybe bought Moody for their kids, they use them too.
Yeah.
Like maybe during a Zoom meeting, they're like underneath the table as they're like, yes, I totally agree with that, rip.
Yeah, arms off.
Yep.
Yeah, take that. Yeah. And it's so much safer than acting out when you just want to get that stuff out. But the fact is, our feelings are supposed to flow and go. And this is really giving them somewhere to go. So you get to be in that flow, which we often do not. And I think that, wow, that is such a bonus here. Because we don't know how to handle emotions. We don't, for the most part, all of us hang on to them for dear life, which just causes so many other issues. Because everything from ourselves out, everything takes on those emotions, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent. We're stuffing things inside us. It's no wonder that people get dis-ease all the time because there's so much that you're just piling in.
Yeah, I think when you've been taught to not show your emotions because it makes others uncomfortable, that's when they can turn so toxic for you because you're pushing them down, you're hiding them, you're getting secondary emotions too, like you're feeling fear, but it turns to anger because that feels safer. And you're mixing up your emotions and not sure exactly what to feel or how to feel. And that's why it's so important for parents to first put the oxygen mask on themselves and to learn that they also have to have a coping skills toolbox, is what I like to call it, that they can put the oxygen mask on first before they have to help their child. Because kids can piss us off. If we put gasoline on the fire because we're unregulated, it's not going to help your child regulate as well.
Oh, absolutely. And having a toolbox of, in many cases, virtual tools. So this is really nice that My Moody Monster is actually a physical entity that you can pull at, because expending that energy is what allows things to flow better.
Yeah.
It makes a big difference. The virtual tools are all wonderful and definitely useful, but it is really about us regulating ourselves, as you say, before you end up messing up your kids worse, because anger breeds anger and dysregulation breeds dysregulation. And if you cannot show your child what it is to be in a good place, then how can you ever expect them to find that? It's certainly not easy. It's certainly not something that we are taught.
Yes.
Which I think is very sad. We have the greatest computer in the world in our heads, and nobody has a manual. Nobody thinks to give kids a basic map of what's there and how can you use it. Because now there are, in like younger generations, kids are learning to meditate at 2 and 3 years old and be mindful and give themselves a time out so that they can figure out what big emotion has them, and things that frankly we didn't have. We didn't know as much about that. And I have to say, Disney's been great in coming out with Inside Out and other movies that actually give kids a look inside so that they can start putting all these things together better than we ever did.
Yes. Yeah. And there's so much more out there for children. Like I do on my YouTube channel, I do a Moody Story Time. And there are so many books out there now that talk about feelings and give a better understanding to children, basic understanding of emotions. Yeah. Because when my boys were little, I called them little cavemen because they were born with all these emotions and they don't know what to do with them. And having these books to be able to give them a baseline for what each emotion is has been really helpful, I believe.
Oh my God, I think that's wonderful. I have to say that, I call my grandkids heathens, just all over the map. And we all are. Nobody came with instructions.
No, nope.
Absolutely not. And getting into the teen years has got to be terrifying for the parents, but for the kids, it's pretty scary all that goes on inside.
Yeah.
And again, it's not something that we're taught, which just boggles the mind when you think about it. If we started on the inside and taught kids from the inside, I think we would have a lot less trouble on that road to adulthood, because they'd have a better understanding of who and what they are and why things go the way they do.
Yes. Yeah.
So what's next for Moody or Moody adjacent?
I've been writing books, and I've been working really hard also to get them into advocates' hands and first responders. So a portion of every order I do goes to first responders, foster care, children who are in foster care, social workers, medical treatment facilities who are doing cancer treatments for kids that are in trauma. I want them to be able to have a buddy that they can hold on to. So that's been my mission to help kids in trauma, to have someone to hold on to.
I think that's wonderful.
Thank you.
And I think the more we can get your message out there, the better off we are.
Thank
getting
you.
Getting Moody's everywhere. I think that's a really great idea. So we will make sure that you can see down below where to get My Moody Monster. You already see it on the screen in front of you. And it will also be in the show notes, everything about Jen and how to get a hold of Jen. And I'm excited to check things out with you going forward to see where you go with this. Also, because you do story time, I think it's really important for people. We will make sure that the YouTube channel is down below as well, because nothing better than story time for children. Absolutely. I think that's wonderful.
Thank you.
So I believe you've come a hell of a long way and are doing really good stuff, which is awesome. If you could give the audience one little tip or tweak, something you use in your life daily or weekly that you find very useful, what would you suggest?
I've been working on this for a while, but sitting with difficult emotions is scary. But by sitting with them, you're better able to work through them. And I use the term, this too shall pass, because I always run away from those difficult emotions. I'll get on the computer and start doing work. I'll create work for myself. I'll do whatever I can to get away from that intense emotion. But by sitting with it and better understanding it, it will pass quicker and you'll have a better grasp of what you are in need of.
That is so good. So good. Well, I have to say thank you so much for joining us today. Jen Ginty has been our guest today. My Moody Monster also came on, which I think is pretty cool. And you can get in touch with her, as I said, down below. You'll see that the ticker down below has the website on it, so you can go right there. And we will see you next time. I'm Elaine Lindsay. This is Suicide Zen Forgiveness. I thank you so much for joining us today. And as per always, make the very most of your today, every day. And I'll see you next time.
Thank you for being here for another inspiring episode of Suicide Zen Forgiveness. We appreciate you tuning in. Please subscribe and download on your favorite service and check out SZF's YouTube channel or Facebook community. If you have the chance to leave a 5-star rating or review, it'd be greatly appreciated. Please refer this to a friend you know who may benefit from the hope and inspiration from our guests. Suicide Zen Forgiveness was brought to you by the following sponsors. Trul Social Media, the digital integration specialists. Let them get you rocking page one in the search results. Canada's keynote humorist, Judy Kroon, motivational speaker, comedian, author, and stand-up coach at Second City. Judy has been involved for over a decade in the City Street Outreach Program in Toronto. Do you have a story to share? Do you know someone you think would be a great guest? Please go to SZF42.com. And for our American listeners, that's SZF42.com. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you again.